Those of you who were here on last Sunday, we started speaking. I told you I'd be speaking for the next couple of Sundays on faith. And on last Sunday was the power of worshiping in faith. So if you took that to heart and gave God your best worship this morning, because we know he received it, because he received, when we talked about Cain and Abel, he received Abel's worship. It was Abel's best, and he consumed it. Therefore, if the enemy came crouching at our back, the Lord kept it at bay the whole week until you came to worship this week, which he didn't do for Cain. This week, we're going to talk about walking in faith. And today we are going to look at another hero of faith by the name of Enoch. Is real Enoch here this morning? He's not here this morning. But we have an Enoch here. And the lesson today is going to teach us today what it means to walk in faith. And the scripture lesson today is coming from the book of Hebrews 11, verses 5 and 6. I'll be reading from the New American Standard, but it's pretty close to whatever he's going to put up. It says, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that that he would not see death, and he would not be found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And verse 6, and without faith, it says, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So Hebrews tells us that Enoch pleased God. And the book of Genesis tells us why he pleased God. And the reason was he pleased God because he walked with God. So the way you please God is simple. We walk with him. And it takes faith to please God by walking with God, because you are dealing with a God that you do not see. You're dealing with things about God that are invisible. So in order to please God, you must walk with God. What does it means to walk with God? The New Testament phrase is walk in the Spirit. So that in the New Testament phrase of walking with God, that's what it means. When you walk in the Spirit, you're walking with God. We are in the New Testament. The Bible says that if you walk in the Spirit, when you walk taking one step after the other, one step at a time, and not talking about a hop, I'm not talking about a skip, I'm not talking about a jump, I'm not talking about a leap, it says it is a walk. So that means that it's an ongoing process. So we are told about Enoch. He walked with God for, let's make a note of this, for 300 years, Enoch walked with God. He started his walk when he was 65 years old. It says because he was 65 when he had Methuselah, and then he walked with God 300 years. So this was a walk over an extended period of time. Walking, when I said walking, it was a step-by-step process. In other words, to walk with God is to bring God to bear on the steps that we take in our life. It means that God is part of your decision-making. He is a part of your thinking process. He is a part of your calendar. He is a part of your schedule. He is a part of your relationship. Every step you take, every move you make, everything you are involved with God is attached to it. And you are aligning yourself with him. Now, walking assumes something. If you are a walker and you walk with someone, you walk with them, whoever it is you're walking with, it is probably because you like them. Most likely, you don't walk with somebody that you don't care for, you don't like, because you are not in harmony with somebody you walk with. If you don't like them, you're not in harmony with them. So it would be very uncomfortable, I would think, to walk with somebody that there's no relationship with. In the book of Amos 3:3, it says, "Can two walk together except they be in agreement?" In other words, it is hard to walk with folk that you're in conflict with. So to walk with God involves agreeing with Him. That means that there is harmony in agreement and a shared spiritual perspective. In order to do this, it says in verse 6, "Him that comes to God must first believe that He is." It is hard to walk with somebody that you are not sure that's going to be there for you. So there is an assumption with walking with God that the God you're walking with is there to be walked with. Now that takes a belief. If you do not believe that you are walking with somebody that you don't see, like air, you don't see air, but nobody doubts air, but it is not invisible, it's a reality. If you're not sure He is, then you're not sure He can be walked with. And there are a lot of Christians, I'm going to say this, a lot of Christian doubters today. They believe about God without believing in Him. That is why they don't seriously take His existence of God. They say, yeah, well, He is, let me explain something about believing that He is. You must believe that He is. That is the difference between in believing that He is. Because when you must believe about God is that He is a personal and therefore He is knowable. God's people believe that it's not like He is a force. Some believe that God is a concept, not a reality. So people who want religion don't want a relationship. It's not the Him that they are talking about. You must believe that God, who is asking you to walk with Him, really wants you to walk with Him, because He wants a relationship with you, not merely a visit from you. He is not after visitation rights. He is after full custody. The second thing you must believe you are going to walk with God is verse 6. It says that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You must believe that He is real and He is a rewarder. He is personal and He is a responder. So you believe two things: that there is a personal God who wants you to walk with Him, and that He's not going to waste His time on a journey. That He is going to respond to my belief in Him and my walk with Him. One of the reasons why you are not seeing more of God is that if I believe in Him, we don't believe that there is a response from Him. We must believe in Him, and there is a response that we are going to get from Him, if indeed we are walking with Him. Seeking to be pleasing to Him, then He is going to, in fact, join us, and He is going to walk with us. The issue is, if you do walk with God, you need to want to walk with Him, if you expect God to walk with you. Verse 6 says that He is a rewarder for those who diligently seek Him. In other words, He is going to walk with you if you walk with Him. But He will not be insulted and walk with you if you don't want to walk with Him. Because who would want to walk with somebody who doesn't want you to walk with them? So there's this issue of the design to walk with God, which is walking in the Spirit, which is bringing God to bear on all of life, where you are in God's environment seeking to please Him in every aspect, step by step, thought by thought, decision by decision in your life, which He explains what Paul means when he says, pray without ceasing. Because if you're walking with Him, you know Him, and you know He is walking you're walking with somebody, you're talking to him. You're making friends with him. You have a conversation. And when you are having a conversation, walking with somebody that you desire to be with and having a relationship with, something happens there. I don't care what you're going through. If you are, here's a God, when you're walking with him, he says, look, you can talk to me. I'll take care of your finances problem. Tell me about him. Tell me about that pain that you're feeling. Tell me about the sorrow that you have in your life. We're walking together. We have a relationship. When you're walking with God and he is walking with you, it's because you want to walk with him. He will take care of every need, every circumstance, everything. We can't go through anything that God is not there to take care of. God says, you can talk to me about anything, any problem, any circumstances, family problems, problems with your kids, because I am there for you. So walking with God, if you're going to walk with him, will often mean you'll be walking against the culture. You'd be walking against the things of this world. You'd be walking out of step with culture because you are listening to another drum beat. And the New Testament talks about Enoch in another place. The next to the last book of the New Testament is the book of Jude. It's a little short book. It only has one chapter. But in verse 14, it says, and 15, it says, it was also about these men that Enoch, in the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones, and verse 15, to execute judgment upon all, and to conflict all the ungodly sinners just spoken against him. So now we're in the New Testament, talking about Enoch. Jude picks up on this man, Enoch, from the book of Genesis. Jude says, Enoch, in the seventh generation from Adam. Now, why would he say Enoch from the seventh generation from Adam? Because there were two Enochs in Adam's family. In Genesis 4:17, he talked about Enoch, the son of Cain. Enoch, the son of Cain, who had a city named after him. Jude said, I'm not talking about him. I'm not talking about Cain's baby boy. I'm talking about Seth's generation. And I said, I don't want you to be confused, because people can share the same name but not the same nature. Enoch, the son of Cain, had a city named after him, so he was recognized by man. But Enoch, the seventh generation from Adam, was not known by men. He was known by God. This Enoch walked with God. So the question is, who do you want to walk with, and who do you want to know your name? You can live for people and be recognized and have notoriety. You can have power after you. You can have success after your name. You can have the questions. You can have people coming to you just because of who you are. There's power in some people's name. You mention certain names and everybody know them. Oh yes, he is this and he is that. But Enoch, the seventh generation from Adam, was not a private person. He wasn't a spiritual CIA person. But it says that he prophesied against the ungodliness of his day. He wasn't just a quiet little Christian sitting in church where nobody knew that he belongs to God, but him. If you are the only one on your job who knows you're a Christian, you're not walking with God. Everybody else coming out of the closet. You have actors coming out of the closet. Actresses coming out of the closet. Football players coming out of the Tough football players coming out of the closet. Singers coming out of the closet. And you mean to tell me all these people coming out of the closet and taking a stand for what they believe, and you can't come out the closet and tell it and let everybody know that you're a Christian standing for a God? This is how you walk. That's how you roll. I'm a child of God, and I'll let you know how I roll. And nobody else is going to be silent? No, I'm not going to be silent. If they don't be silent, why can't I speak out about the God I serve. Don't you know that there are churches given into ungodliness? You all here at GMC know we stand for God. We stand for the Word of God. We stand for the Scriptures. We don't stand for the culture. We don't believe we go against the culture. You see, it doesn't matter if it's popular. It doesn't matter if the world accepts it. It says that Enoch who walked with God, let the ungodly know that's not right. God calls that sin. That is unrighteousness. God is not in agreement with that, with men marrying men, women marrying women. God is not going to go for that, not the God I serve. If you're a Christian and you're going to walk with God, you must take a stand. Because it is you, if you're going to walk with God, you have got to agree with God. How can two walk together except they agree? Joshua said, I can't control what the rest of all y'all do, but for me and my house, see, I'm going to serve the Lord. So Enoch did not compromise with ungodliness in order to be popular or to have a big name. You may be in a hostile environment or live in a hostile environment, but it ought to be clear that you belong to another kingdom. You belong to another king, and you represent that kingdom. Let me tell you something. We talk about Satan. Satan has what he has. He has his doctors. Well, God ought to have his doctors. Satan has his lawyers. God ought to have his lawyers. Satan has his teachers. God ought to have his teachers. Satan has his wives. God ought to have his wives. Satan has his husbands. God ought to have his husbands. Satan has all kinds of lawyers and things, people doing things, but God ought to have his. If the unrighteous can represent hell, God has called you to represent heaven because he has invited you to walk with him. Enoch, walk with God. The reality is that the closer you get to God, the more sensitive you will be to the unrighteous in your own life. That's why when something you do and you do it and you know it's wrong and you walk with God, it hurts you. You feel bad about it. Why? Because you did something wrong. You did something out of the will of God. You did something that God didn't want you to do. That's why you feel bad. But then again, when we talked about last Sunday, we talked about the power of walking and worshiping in faith. Remember Cain? I told you last week, Cain had this person and they represent, this is a demon, this sin, crouched behind him, just waiting to jump on him, to devour him. He waited like he do with us. Look, we got to get it right. We got to go back and get it right. Cain never got it right. So what happened? Sin jumped on him. He become depressed. He become angry. So much so that it drove him to murder. But we don't have that problem here. We're not perfect people. But when we are close to God, you feel it. It hurts you. It hurts you for yourself, and it hurts you for the lives of others. You know, when people are close to us, something happened to them, and we notice that, God, why did we feel for them? And we don't want it to happen. So what we do, as being children of God, we pray for them. Enoch walked with God. And it was a public walk, not a private walk. If you're walking with God and you don't want anyone else to know, that means that you're ashamed of him. Enoch walked with God, and it was a lifestyle because he did it for over 300 years. In other words, he did it his life. His whole life was devoted to walking with God. What was the payoff for walking with God? Hebrews 11:5 says, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. And he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained a witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. So it talks about before he was taken up, Then he started about being taken up. So before he was taken up, he is still walking over 300 years that he was walking with God. That's a long time. Witness meaning God testified with his special presence in Enoch's life, and that I am with Enoch, and Enoch was with me. There was a testimony. God vindicated him, validated him, and there was a supernatural presence. There was a supernatural witness. God answered his prayer. God showed up. God showed off. God showed out. God directed him. And one reason why we don't feel that here that God is we are so, we don't hear him because we are so far away. When you walk with somebody, you don't have to yell at them. You don't have to holler at them. You just speak normal. You can whisper. If I come to you and whisper, I'm that close to you. We have that close relationship. You will hear my voice. Nobody else will hear it, but you will hear it. And that's how we should be with when we walk with God. Let me tell you something about walking with God. You know, I'll use myself as an example. About 2 months ago, well, 2 months prior, actually started in November. And walking with God, and you don't realize, I don't care how strong or how long you think or how big and bad and tough you think you are just because you're a child of God, things can happen to you. And when things happen to you, you respond to those things just like any other person. With God, those sinners, you respond to it the same way. I was, after surgery, back in November, December 18, I was in the house. I was in pain constantly, day and night. It does something to you. I asked God the question. I says, God, I didn't ask him, why did you let this happen to me? I said, why did this stuff happen? The only thing I said is, God, what am I to learn through this? What are you trying to teach me that I'm not getting? I want you to tell me so I can hurry up and learn this thing so this thing can be done with. Thoughts was going through my mind. I got angry for 2.5 weeks anyway because I ran out of the medication. They didn't send me home with enough medication. And I couldn't get in touch with them. We tried to call them. We couldn't get in touch with nobody. They called one time. They got in touch with them and they hung up. We had to had to go through the emergency room again to get the medication I need to last me until my next doctor's visit. But anyway, this pain was so excruciating. I mean, it was terrible. I got mad. I got angry. I couldn't go outside. All I did was look out the window. I got claustrophobic. And the thought came that this pain and thing, don't think that taking care of this pain won't come to your mind, because it did. The first thing I did, I said, I got to take care of this. I got to do something about this. God, you got to relieve me of this. And he talked to me. He said, but see, by walking with God and speaking to him, he said, I sent you somebody to give you comfort. I'm going to take care of this. So he said, I sent you your wife. I thought about it. And I walked and I had to go to her and tell her how much I appreciated her. I'm going to tell you something. You couples in here, you let such simple stuff separate you. You let simple stuff cause a wall to come up between you. But I'm gonna tell you the truth. You better take care of you. Whoever mate you have, you married fine. You plan on getting married, you better appreciate that person. Because you don't know when you're gonna need that person. I mean, if it wasn't for her, I don't know what I would have done. I don't tell you the truth. If you have ever been in constant pain day and night, you don't know how you're going to think, what you're going to do, or what you're going to live for. I got to end this whatever way I can, naturally, carnally speaking. But when you walk with God, the importance of walking with God, he will give you instructions. He will show you what to do. He will tell you what to do. He said, walk with me. Those financial bills, okay, walking with him. Prior to that, you know, in November, I had a seizure. I went to the emergency room, but I didn't go to VA hospital. My wife took me to another hospital. I wanted to go to VA because I know I didn't have to pay all that. Well, I got the bills from the Zala Hospital. They flowing in one at a time. You won't believe it. Y'all believe it. I don't have insurance to take care of all that stuff. I'm insured through the VA hospital. Veteran. God would talk to you about that. He said, what am I going to do with all about all this stuff? He handles that. He said, well, what did I take? Did I not take care of things that happened before financially? When you walk with God, you can talk to him about anything. And he will take care of it. Well, first of all, I came, I gave him praise. I give him my best praise. I am every step that I'm taking here, let me tell you what else it does. When you're walking with a friend, somebody that you have a relationship with, you can't walk it by yourself because you say, well, I need somebody else to help bear this thing. You ever go walking and you go walking, you say, you're walking 3 miles. And you religiously walk there, but when you're walking, you wouldn't do it by yourself. You're quitting a heartbeat. But you walk with somebody that you have a relationship with, somebody that you can depend on, somebody that you know going to be there. You can walk the 3 miles, and during your conversation, you finish the 3 miles and don't even know you're going 3 miles. When you walk with God, these situations that come up in life, you're walking with him, you're talking with him. Right now, I don't feel any pain. Why? Because he is a distraction. He takes my mind off of what I'm going through. And I'm talking to him, and he is telling me something because I can't listen. I can't multitask like some of you. I can't listen to God and pay attention to what I'm doing myself. I can't listen to spiritual things and put natural things in the way. I got to let these natural things go and trying to hear what he was trying to tell me spiritually. So I'm telling you how important it is to walk with God. Enoch walked with God. 300 years he walked with God. If he can walk with God 300 years, why can't I walk with him my lifetime? Knowing that he's taking care of my pain now because I'm talking with him. He is telling me what to say. He is letting me be a witness to what you are going. You know, one thing about, that's why my sister Barbara, I can truly say I can pray for Barbara. Because I know the pain that she's going through. Because why? I experienced some pain. It may not be the same, but pain is pain. When it drives you out of your mind, pain is pain. I don't care which part of your body is coming from. That's why I can identify with your sister Clara. Because she's been through the same thing. Why? I've been through. Now I'm suffering the same. I know what she's going through. You begin to pray for people rather than, I go to VA hospital. When Linda was taking me there, sometimes you see people in wheelchairs and some of them look like they can just by speaking to them, they feel that they can just curse you out. But I feel sorry for those people now. I pray for them because they don't have the same God that I have. They don't, see, they're still in themselves. Well, I'm mad, I'm disgusted, I'm frustrated because I used to be able to walk like that. I'm frustrated because even they gotten old. I said, I'm frustrated because I'm gotten old and I can't do those things that I used to do. Some people, you without God, you'd be surprised what goes on in your mind. But when you walk with God, you understand. When you walk with God, you become a witness. When you walk with God, you have a testimony. When you walk with God, we can spread this gospel out of these four walls out there to help somebody who really need it. Why? Because I'm listening to that still small voice. He's speaking to me. And if I was far away from him, he could speak all day long. I would never hear him. But it's like you walking with somebody that you have a relationship with, that you love, that you know is going to be there. You don't have to yell. You don't have to shout. They speak to you in normal voice. And God speaks to you when you have that relationship with him. So that's why it's so important. This thing about faith, it sounds simple at first. I mean, I know about faith. Faith is a substance of things and unseen, all that crap. Look, you don't go deep enough into faith. These people that God put in this Bible is representative of faith. They are there to teach us about faith. And that's why I just took this time to let you know how important faith, having faith in the true and the living God is. See, God verified him. God validated him. And that's why God came. You know, he didn't see death, and they couldn't find him. when you I tell you, how you live will determine how you're going to leave here. How you live is going to determine how you leave here. God took Enoch up. He didn't experience death. But what happened to Stephen? At the end of Acts chapter 7, he looked up and saw heaven open up and saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father in heaven and said, "Receive my spirit." Paul said, "I am ready to be offered up. I have finished my course. I run the race. I have nothing left to do down here. Lord, here I am." You have people, saints of faith, all through the Bible that just gave up. They know when they were finished. They lived a good life, and they left a good life to enter a good life. How you live will determine how you're going to leave here. Father, right now, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you, Father, for your word. I just thank you for